How's everybody doing this morning so far? We good? Good. Good. Everybody, there's that part of me that in the back of my head, I think, okay, if I post that I'm speaking tomorrow, I wonder who will come. And here you are. And here you are. You gluttons for punishment, you. let's do a couple things here. Let's first of all, you know, pastor's out of town right now, but let's speak a blessing over our pastor while he's gone. Lord, we bless the man of God that you've called to steward the house, and we just declare blessing over his life in every possible way. We thank you for blessing his health, blessing his eyes, his ears, every way that you speak to him, Lord, we call that blessed. We thank you for blessing the works of his hand. And we thank you for the blessing that Sue is receiving while he is out of town. Amen. He's probably not watching the live stream right now. That was probably okay. Is he? I'm sorry, Pastor. I was kidding. Let's do this. Cheryl was mentioning last week's message, which was a good one. Since, you know, we're Texans, it's a good one. You should go back and listen to it. If you haven't, if you weren't here last Sunday, you can always get all the messages on livestream.com/Austin Cathedral. You can go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Austin Cathedral. Also, austincathedral.com has all of the messages available as well, audios of all the messages. So if you haven't checked out Temple Restoration, that was last week's message, it's a good one. And some messages just establish something. You know, they lay the groundwork, the next step for where you're going. And that was that's actually what that message does. And I was listening to it earlier this week, and and Pastor Hart has been speaking out a lot lately on becoming, on the process of becoming, which is great. One thing that I love about Pastor is that he's a visionary, right? He's got a big vision. He sees a lot in the future for us as individually as a house and for the body as a whole. And sometimes, I don't know if any of you are this way, but sometimes I can get maybe even a little bit overwhelmed by big vision. Right, I don't know if you're this way, but I'm this way. I really like one of my favorite things is when I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, because then I can just do it, and I know that I'm gonna be okay. But sometimes when there's a big vision laid out in front of me, or something that doesn't have like necessarily concrete, and some things can't have concrete steps laid out in front of them, right? Some things you just don't know. We're going to go, and we're going to see what unfolds, and then we're going to let the Lord lead us each step of the way. But whenever possible, I like for stuff to be told to me in very exact terms. Makes my day a lot easier. So I was listening, speaking of which, I was listening to Temple Restoration, and if you're anything like me, two things happen. So Pastor Hart has been speaking about vision and about becoming, and he's used some phrases like we're becoming a nation, we're becoming a people, and not just here in this body, but in the body in general. The Lord is taking us from being a lot of separate churches who are doing their own thing. And I believe that the heart of God, if we listen and we read Ephesians 4 and 5, I believe that the heart of God is to take all these separate things and unify them. To take all of these churches that think, well, I burn for this, I burn for that, I burn. And to think that we're separate because we burn for that and they burn for this, and we have our focus here and they have their focus there. So we think that because we have different manifestations or different approaches, or we're operating with a slightly different focus, we have the tendency in the church to feel like, well, we're separate. But Ephesians 4 tells us that we're not separate. We're one. We are to keep the bond of unity in the spirit of peace. We're to keep the bond. It's not something that we had and we lost. It's something that we have, and sometimes we don't recognize that, oh, we need to keep that alive. We need to keep that. I need to embrace the other focuses, the other moves, the other things that are going on in the body of Christ. And so he's been talking about becoming a nation, becoming a people, united in spirit so much individually and collectively that we start to respond, we start to think, we start to act, we start to declare together in a unified voice what Jesus himself would do. And we will do that because we're going to be so connected with the heart of the Father. Right? That has been the focus of the message. And that does, if you're anything like me, hearing big words like that does two things to you. First, makes me excited, you know, because without a vision, people perish, but with a vision, we come alive. So it gives me something to move toward. The second thing it does is it makes me wonder, how do I move toward that? There's a vision. We're becoming a people. We're becoming a nation. We're becoming this. I'm wholly on board. I'm in. But then if you're anything like me, then I need to be reminded sometimes of, okay, well, how do I get there? How do I do that? How do I move forward? And so that's a little bit what today's message is going to deal with. And it's because it's coming from me. It's highly practical. I'm practically spiritual. Close. I'm highly practical. And because it's coming from me, it's not going to be anything I don't think that you don't already know, but we need reminders sometimes of some things that that have become so second nature that we forget that they're there, right? So that's what we're going to do. I need you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And while you're turning there, let me tell you how Infinity War ends. Because, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. It was pretty darn good. But I promise no spoilers. Yes, you're welcome. Can I spoil other things for you? Can I spoil The Sixth Sense for you? Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. You're welcome. I had to spoil something. I couldn't go all service without doing that. That's awful. I can't believe I did that. I know, me either. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. What's happening right now is a little bit of something that happened in a nightmare I had last night. So... No, Jennifer says don't stop. I'm going to tell it just a bit. No, it's a funny nightmare. So I was, last night, I was woken up. I had a dream. I said, hey, everybody. I was speaking. It was this morning. I said, hey, everybody, turn to Hebrews 6. And I opened up my book. I thought it was my Bible. I searched around for several minutes while all of you waited. Search around for several minutes for Hebrews 6. And like, where is Hebrews? I can't find Hebrews 6 anywhere. So I went to the glossary, went to the table of contents, and I saw it said Hebrews. I went to the page that said Hebrews, and it was like, Hebrews is a book of the Bible, and it is, and it was just about Hebrews. It wasn't the actual scripture. And so I took the cover off, and it's like, this is a book about the Bible. And so I put that away. I went to my bag. I went looking for my iPad, and which fortunately is here today. And I went looking for my iPad, and it was scrounging through my bag. Meanwhile, all of you are sitting here, just like looking kind of like you're looking now, honestly. And I was going through my bag, and I couldn't find my iPad in there. And I thought, well, at least I've got my phone. So I grabbed my phone out of my pocket, and my fingers were too fat to type anything. And so I'm trying to, and it's coming out like, Beboos, I want to go to Beboos A, you know, it's like, and it was awful. And I'm looking up from my phone and I'm thinking, I can't, but I have something I need to, and I look up and all of you are starting to walk out. You're gone. And then I looked down at my phone again, and then I woke up, and then it was really difficult to go back to sleep. So there's that. That's, yeah, that sure is funny, isn't it? We're going to be reading. I normally read out of the ERV, but I'm going to read out of the NIV today. I know. Woo, he's changing it up. I know. Changes are afoot. Okay, so the last part of Hebrews 6:12 said, and we hear this quoted all the time, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We've all heard that a bunch of times, right? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. But what I want to go into a little bit today is sort of the process of imitating those, because we've got a promise out in front of us for what we're becoming, where we're going, who we are, not only as a church, but as a body. And so it would help to be able to move forward to that. How do we do that? How do we move forward? What's the process? Hebrews 6:12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, if we go back to the very beginning of 12, it says, we don't want you to become lazy. We want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We don't want you to become lazy. We don't want you to sit back. We don't want you to just relax and take your ease and just rest. We want you to continually be pursuing something, right? And that's a part of what I want to talk about today. Before I get into the rest of the message, though, I want to mention that I tried. This is a story. I promise it's going somewhere. I do have a point. So Thursday, I decided I had a little bit of extra time. There's a basketball court nearby. I've been watching NBA playoffs. And I thought, I have that 45, almost 46-year-old guy thought where I think, yeah, how hard could that be? I've played basketball. I'm just going to go out and shoot around. That's going to be great. So I get my basketball, get all dressed up, get all dressed up. That's not what you do when you go to play basketball. I get on my clothes, I go over to the neighborhood next door, and I'm out there dribbling the ball around and think, oh yeah, this is starting to feel familiar. I thought about it later, and it's been 20 years since I consistently would go out like and shoot baskets, right? It's late college. I had some basketball classes, go out and play with friends all the time. And at the time, I'm not saying that I was great, and neither is anybody else saying that I was great, but I had a shot. I could shoot. I could dribble a little bit. I wasn't the most embarrassing guy on the court, and I wasn't the one picked last almost all the time. I wasn't the one picked last. But so I was comfortable. I knew how to do this. I knew how to shoot. I knew how to, I knew how to dribble. I get out on the court on Thursday, and there's nobody around, and that's a blessing. There's no one around, because I get out, and I'm dribbling the ball around. I think, okay, this is good. This starts to feel familiar, and I figure I'll start with some free throws. So I'm on the line. I take a couple dribbles. The form looks good right now. You can tell, right? I mean, it's beautiful. So I take a couple shots. And it's like the ball, there's like reverse polarity with the ball and the rim. And like it gets close and it's just, I'm not hitting anything. I'm not even getting close. The ball can't even smell the rim from where it's going, right? And this is very frustrating. I can't seem to make a shot. And I was starting to get, a little bummed about it. I was starting to get frustrated, and people are walking by because it's a park, and I'm starting to get a little self-conscious. And in my head, I'm thinking, how did I do this? Because at one point, I knew. You ever had that experience with something? You think, at one point, I knew how to do this. And it's been a little while, and now I've kind of forgotten how to do it. So how do I do? So I was having to go back, and reteach myself a little bit. So, okay, all right, make sure you cock your wrist. Got to have your elbow in. I'm not using my knees. That's the problem. Got to use the knees. Get extension in your wrist. Make sure I'm looking at the front of the rim. And so it took a little while. I was out there for an hour of not making stuff. It was so sad. And eventually I was laughing because what else are you going to do? But eventually shots started going in. And I thought to myself, okay, that's in there. That's in here. It just took a little reminding, took a little bit of work. But it got me thinking about the question, okay, well, how did I do that? How was it that at one point I could do that really well? And it occurs to me that it's exactly the same way that we get to do anything really well, including the way that we get to move forward towards a big vision. It's all the same. It's all the same process. And it hinges on this, Hebrews 6:12. Don't become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. If we look back just a little bit to verse 11, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. And that's not just in shooting a basketball. What I was hoping for that day was, please God, before I leave, let one go in. And he granted that. That was nice. I appreciated that. And now made one, and like, I can go now. You know, it was victory. But not only does it is it for, you know, shooting baskets, or, you know, there was a point where I couldn't play the guitar, and today I couldn't actually play the guitar very well, but there was a point where I couldn't play it at all. But the same process for that is the same process as shooting baskets. It's the same process as seeing the vision and moving toward it. It's all about diligence. It's all about faithfulness. It's all about pursuing relentlessly in the direction that you know you need to go. Now, we're going to move over to Hebrews 12, because this gets us into the meat of, you know, of pursuing relentlessly, okay? So we're going to Hebrews 12, and we're in verses 1 through 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and the NIV says, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God now. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you haven't yet had to resist to the point of shedding your blood. But have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? And it says, and you've heard pastors say this countless times, my son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. All right. So read a few verses there. And it occurs to me that Paul is mentioning two very specific things that get in the way of our pursuit of what God has called us to. And the first one is in verse 1. It's the sin that ensnares us and the earthly distractions that steal our focus. Right? The sin that ensnares us and the earthly distractions that steal our focus. Now, Jesus has won victory over sin and over death. And we have him living in here. So even though that becomes a little bit of a problem for us at times, we get a little sidetracked. There's no reason why we should stay sidetracked for a long time. We have the authority to, you know, to put a stop to it. We have the authority to establish a new normal at any time, right? If sin has become our normal, if we've allowed ourselves, you know what, this is going to be okay just this once. And it becomes habit, and it becomes habitual, and we find that our focus on that is diverting us from the course that God wants us to be on, or the goal God wants us to pursue, or even the personal goal that you want for your own life, and God's saying, yeah, go for it. We can get into habits and patterns and sins and things where we miss the mark, and if we continue to follow those, then we're not reaching what God has for us, and we're not reaching the thing that we feel really called to. We've instead established a new normal. My new normal is I'm just going to do this, and I guess I'll just leave those things off to the side. I don't see how I can possibly get to those now. But we have the authority within us in Jesus to establish a new normal today. We have the authority to say, no, that stops. I'm throwing that off. That's a weight. That sin is ensnaring me, and it's a weight that's dragging me down, and it's keeping me from running at full pace. I have the authority in Jesus to say, no, that stops. I rebuke it, and then I can put on the mind of Christ and choose to make a different decision the next moment, and the moment after that, and the moment after that, because we all know things that we get into habits of doing or saying or attitudes that become our habits, they don't just always go away overnight. They kind of want to stick around. So we have to continually be diligent to say, nope, you don't get to stick around until it understands and becomes, oh, I guess I can't approach you with that anymore, right? We can establish a new normal even today. Even today. So there are two things that kind of get in the way of our pursuit of what God has us to be. The first one we see in Hebrews is the weights, the sin that hinders us, that entangles us. And so to that, I want to say, if that is something that we're going through individually, then establish a new normal. Make the choice. Rise up in the authority of, that God gave you and say, that stops and this starts. That's done and this begins. And this is the course I'm setting. I'm committing my way to the Lord so that he will make it successful. Proverbs 16:3. I'm going to commit this to the Lord and he'll make it successful. Right? We have that authority to get rid of that hindrance. But now the second thing is a little bit trickier. And if we look ahead to verse 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6 say, have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone that he accepts as his son. Sometimes it's sin that steals our focus. Sometimes it's weights and cares of the world that we put on, that we choose to focus on, that keep us from God. But sometimes it's because God is allowing us to have some hardships. Ah, that's so weird to say in some places now in Christianity. What? God gives you troubles? God gives you hardships? God puts obstacles in your way? You may disagree with me, but I would say, yeah. Heck yeah, he does. Absolutely. Count it all joy when various trials come upon you, because you know that these trials and the testing of your faith produces all of these good things in your life, which, by the way, are the fruits of the Spirit. God's end game is to produce the fruit of the Spirit within us. And so sometimes, and I don't like to call them challenges or problems or hindrances so much as I like to call them growth opportunities. Sometimes the Lord gives us growth opportunities. We look back one chapter into the roll call of faith. We're talking about heavy hitters, high scorers in the Bible, right? And God loved them all. And they did not have easy lives 100% of the time. They had challenges. And sometimes those challenges were things where God said, I need this to be working in you, so I need to present you with this so that you'll have to rely on me to get past it. And in relying on me and in responding the right way to the challenge, we're going to grow closer together. That's the end game for God. The connection that we have to him, to where any challenge that he might present us with, our reaction isn't the same as when we presented ourselves with a challenge by getting ensnared in sin. Because we can allow both of those to keep us from pursuing God. I know in my life, personally, I've gone through some challenges that I realize I could have used those. I could have relied on God. He was allowing certain things to certain situations to happen. He was allowing certain things into my life. And I could have said, I get it. I'm going to rely on you. How do I handle this? Let me pray what you would want me to do, and that way I'll know I'm doing the right thing. I could have handled it that way. I haven't always. And sometimes those things that God was wanting to use to grow me, I used to stop me. And we can't. We can't let the sins that we've brought in ourselves ensnare us and stop us. We have to keep running. We have to keep pursuing. We have to continue to be diligent. We also can't allow the chastening of the Lord and the correction that he gives us to make us so hangdog and tail between our legs and, oh, I'm so wretched, I'm so awful. That's not what he wants for us. That's not what he says over us. We have to allow the correction of the Lord to cause us to draw closer to him and rise up and move forward. He doesn't bring us correction to stall us. He brings us correction to guide us, because otherwise we'll just go whatever way we want. So looking ahead so that we know that I'm not just making all this stuff up. Verse 7, endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It is a choice to allow the correction of the Lord to be training for us. But if we are to run, we need to be training. One thing, okay, this part's actually very sad, funny but sad. One of the things as I was playing basketball, that's the least funny part. One of the things as I was playing basketball was that, you know, every once in a while a shot would hit the rim and just, you know, long rebound or a short rebound that ends up on the corner of the concrete slab and goes and bounces way off down the hill, down the trail and stuff, which is the best. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm in the mode right now. I'm on the basketball court. I need to run. I need to chase after these balls. Apparently it's been a really long time since I've done that too. And I'm not going to lie. I threw up a little bit. The sad part about that was that I only ran a little bit. Right? I could understand, like, yeah, you know, took in like 12 miles today, threw up a little bit. That makes sense to me. I ran the length of a basketball court, threw up a little bit. That's not good. That's not happy. But it's a reminder to me that challenge and obstacles is a byproduct and a necessary component of pursuit. If we're pursuing something, there's obstacles out there, and if we just stay here, we'll never see them. But if we're pursuing something, we're going to meet those obstacles. We have to be ready, and we have to be willing to take them as growth opportunities and not as, oh, there's an obstacle. I guess this is as far as I go. What a bummer. It would have been really nice to get there, to the In-N-Out. That would have been great. Shakes are good. That would have been nice. I guess I'll just stay here. Oh, well. Darn obstacle. No, it's our responsibility. It's our job. If we're pursuing God, it's our job to take these obstacles as growth opportunities, because then the next obstacle that is that same stature won't be an obstacle at all. I've seen this. I've gone over it. I know what this is. My God has given me enough faith and enough power and enough strength to be able to conquer that. I see it again. That's no problem. If you want to stop me, you'll have to come up with something bigger. Right? This whole thing, you know, the pastor talks about the Lord scourges every son he receives, and he gives his discipline and his correction. He receiveth. He gets all King James. I mean, he scourgeth every son he receiveth, you know, which it's memorable. I got it. It's one of those words that I've internalized now because it bears repeating, right? But that's not always a popular thing, because sometimes we don't take that aspect of parenthood as love. We do when we're the parent, but we don't when we're the kid, right? I totally understand as a dad the importance of discipline and scourging. I understand. Ah, child of mine, you must be scourged. Dad, I'm only 10. It doesn't matter. I love you. Yes, you will understand. This is love one day. Did your parents ever do that? Like spank you and then say things while they were spanking you? My dad would do that. He rarely spanked you. So if he did, you were already emotionally just crushed anyway. Like, I can't believe I made him stoop to this. But, you know, my dad would be like, I told you, don't steal my pocket knife, which I did, which was terrible. But you didn't, you know, that kind of thing. It seemed like two syllables was the max to fit in. Like, he wasn't going to go, Anytime I, no, not three, it was just, but you didn't. And anytime I get, you know, he would separate it out. Man. So that doesn't seem pleasant when we're the child, though, right? When we're the child, the scourging doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. But we can't get under the impression that God's love only looks like peace and lack of conflict. We can't get under that impression that, oh, if I'm experiencing conflict, it must be because I've done something wrong. It must be because, because the enemy is attacking me. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it is those things. But God loves us so much, Hebrews says, that he allows us to endure hardships. If God's love only manifested itself in peace and joy and lack of conflict, then Jesus got a really raw deal. Right? And I know he loves his son. I know he does. But there was a greater purpose involved in Jesus' life. And Jesus needed to overcome some things. Not personally, it's not like Jesus had to go to counseling or something, but there were obstacles facing all of us that Jesus needed to overcome for us. And God allowed that to happen, and he allows it to happen to us. So God's love, it does bring peace, it does bring joy, but it also brings challenges and struggles, because testings and struggles, they produce maturity, they produce growth, and God is interested more in our growth and maturity as a body than he is in our personal ease and comfort and happiness. He's more interested in the unity of the body and how we grow and how we face challenges and how we declare his word in all situations and how we stand and represent his heart in all situations. He's more concerned about that than he is about us having an easy time of it. Right? Amen. So we can't mistakenly think that lack of conflict and ease of existence are the ultimate evidence of God's love. Challenge is necessary for growth. It's necessary for development. And last point on this, we're just kind of reluctant to challenge ourselves. Right? Like there's a lot of things like if humble yourself before the Lord. There are a lot of times where if I had done that, I wouldn't have had to have him do it. I'm sorry, Lord, I made you stoop to this, you know? I'm reluctant to challenge myself. And so sometimes he has to step in and challenge me because I won't do it. And he knows that I need to grow, right? Now, I said I was going to talk a little bit, though, about something I haven't been talking about. Pastor has been talking a lot about becoming a people, becoming a nation, becoming a body of Christ that's united in spirit, becoming one heart collectively as a body, not just in this church, but around the world. That's what's coming. And that's a huge vision. And we can't be responsible for how anybody else reacts to that vision. We can't be responsible for anybody else's walk. Right? That's their choice. That's their decision. But we can be responsible for how we respond. And in this house and in our personal lives. So how do we become any semblance of the vision that Pastor has been laying out for us? How do we become that? And the answer is the same way that we learn a new skill and learn to play basketball, learn to play guitar, the same way that we learn how to communicate better with somebody, the same way that if you turn it real quickly to Acts 2:42, the same way that the followers of Jesus started adding numbers after the Holy Spirit fell and all of that. It is faithful, daily, focused, intense pursuit. Faithful, daily, focused, and intense pursuit. That's a big word. The body of Christ is becoming a nation upon the earth. I think it's going to take more than just, you know, three songs on a Sunday and God, I love you, and then go about the rest of our lives. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take faithful, daily, focused, and intense pursuit of God. Even if we don't know exactly what step to take next, if my heart is presented to the Lord, and I'm Lord, I'm here daily, guide me, lead me. I'm focusing on you. I'm not allowing the hardships to get in my way. I'm not going to allow the sin to stop me. Father, I want to pursue you. I want to pursue what you have for me. What you have for me as an individual, what you have for me as a part of this family, what you have for me as a part of the body of Christ. I want to be faithful over what you're calling me to do. And I'm going to go for it. Presenting ourselves before him daily. Faithful, intense, focused pursuit. That's how we talk a lot about breakthrough, you know, in the Western church a lot last couple decades. Breakthrough, we want breakthrough, we want breakthrough, we want breakthrough. You want breakthrough? That's how you get it. Sometimes, every once in a while, you weren't expecting breakthrough and you weren't even thinking about it, and God says, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And the floodgates open. Sometimes that happens. But most of the time, it's the result of cumulative, faithful, daily, focused, intense pursuit. And there is no substitute for that. Faithful, daily, focused, intense pursuit. If we go over to Acts 2, Acts 2, 42, I'm going to read 42 through 47. And this is an example of that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. This is a super important part of this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That is daily breakthrough. That's daily breakthrough. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's a cause and effect scripture. They devoted themselves to teaching. They devoted themselves to the word of God. They devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to sharing life, not just a Sunday morning, not just a Friday night, but getting to know the people that you walk with and getting into relationship and connection with them so that you can support them. They can support you. You can be one. And the result of that is, and you know what? The Lord saw that that was a good place for people to come to because they were going to be connected to something greater than themselves. So he added daily to their numbers. He added daily. Be faithful over the little things and he'll give you rule over many things, right? And another word that is always in here is when Dale was speaking and said, God's going to do it however he's going to do it. He's going to surprise you. You're going to see nothing, 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 and then pow. Nothing, 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 and then pow. Just because you didn't see the pow today doesn't mean that you stop pursuing today. You pursue today because you know that the thing is coming up later. It has to. Because two things I know about my God is that number one, he doesn't lie, and number two, he is not constrained by my schedule. So if he said it will happen, it will happen. If the word that we're hearing is the body of Christ is becoming a nation, I believe it. I'm in. Lord, let it be. And let it be my heart to daily focus and pursue that vision. Let that be my heart daily, because I might see nothing today. Nothing, 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 nothing. But eventually, pow. And that pow is the result of all of this time spent in, all of this seed sown, all of this heart offered up, all of this training that God has allowed us to go through these hardships, through connection with him that brings us over challenges, that brings us through, that conquers all the hold that sin might have had in our lives. All of that training, all of that time spent, that's what yields the breakthrough later on. So how do we become that vision that Pastor's laid out for us? I'm gonna say it one more time. How do we become that vision that Pastor has laid out for us? And that many church leaders are laying out for the whole body, right? That's the Lord is working this in a lot of different places around the world about the unifying of the body and God's heart and nature being revealed through his people. How do we become that? How do we break through into that? We see breakthrough in the areas that we're committed to and faithful over. We see breakthrough in the areas where we have spent daily, focused, intense pursuit. Daily, focused, intense pursuit. And so right now, I know there are areas in our lives, each one of us, where that's where our heart is. I mean, we may be on different levels and different planes of understanding, like specifically the vision over this house, kind of where we are with that, and maybe trying to understand and trying to move forward. But everybody's got areas in their lives where, you know, we need this. We need for God to work in us this commitment to daily, focused, intense pursuit to see breakthrough. And so, like for me, I was just listing some things like, well, what are some areas where I can be assured I'm going to see breakthrough? I'm going to see breakthrough in my family. I am. I have a great family. I have a wonderful family, but there's more. There's more for my kids. There's more. God is going to have them walk in all of the things that he's called them to do. And I know this because my God doesn't lie, and he's not constrained to my timetable. And if I will be faithful, if I will commit, if I will pursue, we'll see breakthrough. So there's breakthrough in my family. There's breakthrough in this church. Because I'm committed here. I'm committed to seeing something break through. And I know that all of you are too. We're committed, so we're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see it. There's breakthrough in some areas that I have in my individual life, because there's things that I'm driven to be faithful over, to daily be focused and intensely pursuing. And honestly, that's, you know, at the start of the message, I said, well, how do we become this? What's the process? What's the step? That's it. And sometimes we don't know exactly the right step, but I think sometimes if we knew if we felt like, oh, if I just do this, I'll do that, then we'd start acting out, you know, formulating a bunch of things that we think will answer the problem. First and foremost, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? So daily focused, intense pursuit of God in these areas that he's called us to, that's what yields our breakthrough. That's what results in us becoming the things that he's called us to become. Amen. Whew, goodness gracious. So I'm going to close with this. The kingdom is established line upon line. A temple is built brick by brick. You know, we move onward and we move upward simply by the process of following our last step with our next one. That's how we climb mountains. That's how we scale impossible heights. All we do is we follow our last step with our next one and never stop. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. So, I pray for that for us as a house and for us as individuals. Lord, give us, let's pray. Eric, can you come up? Because everything is so much better when you're playing music. Amen. My goodness. Whoo. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to the purposes and the plans that you've called us to as individuals, as members of a body, the things that you've called us to in our workplaces, God, the things that you've spoken over our families. Lord, open up our ears more and more and more so that we can hear the things that you're declaring over us, so that we can follow your instruction, so that we can listen to your guidance and we can learn from your training. Let us grow closer to you, God, that we can follow you, and you'll work in us, Father, this dogged, relentless, unyielding determination. Father, work in us this heart that just will not let go. Will not let go. Father, fuel us with your love. Show us the joy that's set before us even more clearly so that we can run to it And Lord, we declare, we commit ourselves to you to see your kingdom established and to see ourselves become what you declared that we would become. Lord, we know that you are not a liar, and we know that we're on your timetable, not ours. So, Father, we will stand, as Moses told the Israelites, Lord, we'll stand, and we will see the salvation of our God. We will stand, and we will see the salvation of our God. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. Guide us, lead us, draw us closer to you, draw us closer to one another as we move forward. Onward and upward, step by step, onward and upward. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.